Yeah, I'm just calling from in a car, so I apologize for any background noise. We may have to pause for a couple of minutes as well. At some point, we'll see how it goes. Okay, so other than that, second. Yeah, you can all hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, fine. So I'm just trying a different phone now, so I hope it will work.
You have quite a group on the Zoom. Myself,
okay,
Mr.
Fine.
Keller, Mr. Spry, and Mr. Friedman.
Okay, fine. Okay, so good evening. I think by you it's still just about, I can still say, I mean, it turns out my father's yacht, but it's a bracha, so it's in Nishmas, I'll be Modi, Bavid Arabim, Salim, Adevi. Right, so we're holding on Mem Dalad on the base. We left off last night, we left off with a couple of questions. So let's start with the one on Rashi. I don't know if anyone had any idea on Rashi. The question was like this. The MS is Tosus already asked this question. Tosus on Mem Dalad on the Dalad pointed out that the whole sugya over here seems to pose a problem for Shittas Rashi regarding Asiyas Oel. Just to remind you, Shittas Rashi is that making an Oel is only a horizontal roof, a ceiling, is a problem of Oel. If you're just making a vertical Matita, then there is no problem. That is Shittas Rashi. So Tosus disagrees with that and says, no, any mechitza which is matir, mechitza materes, is a problem of Asiyas Oel. And one of the problems was from our sugya. So we answered, well, we thought we'd answered the question, or at least I thought we'd answered the question, regarding the question of sukkah. Meaning to say that, clearly from our Gemara over here, we see that when adding a third wall, if one of the walls of the sukkah collapses, and you've only got two walls, to be set to put up the third wall on Yom Tov would be a problem of Asiyas Oel. But a raya, but it's making an Oel. So Tosfos says, you know, from there you see a raya that even putting up a vertical mechita comes under the problem of making an Oel, as long as it's a mechita ma'ateret. So we answer that question. We said the Magine Shlomo Masechet Shabbos gives this answer, the Panim Meiris I think gives this answer, and that is no. The issue is not the vertical mechitza, is by putting up the third wall, now the foliage on top of the sukkah goes from being just foliage to getting a shem shachar. You're affecting actually the horizontal element of the sukkah, and therefore that's why you've got a problem of Asiyas Oel. That's the way we answered that for Rashi in terms of the problem of sukkah. The problem is that in our sugya over here, this we didn't deal with, and that is that we're dealing with clearly vertical mechitzas, in terms of with Rabbi Nechemiah. Rabbi Nechemiah is stuck outside of his home, and we get people to stand together and form mechitzas. And Rashi says very, very clearly, and Gemara is also mashma like that, that Rashi, even a maskana takes on, that it comes under the issue of Asiyas Oel. In other words, it's not because of Ulksha Milta, or because of, you know, the Rabbin Yenison shot. At the beginning of the sugya, Bain the Maskana, it comes out that according to Rashi, the issue is one of making an oil. Now here, we're not talking about any horizontal element, it's all just vertical mechitzas. So why would this be a problem of Asiyas Oel? As I said, Rashi says it black and white, it's talking about Asiyas Oel. Anyone got any suggestions for that? Question was clear?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, at least the question is clear. So, I'll tell you, I was thinking about it earlier today, and I was thinking maybe we could say we're going to have to make a little bit of an addendum to the Mahadech we've given in Rashi. And that is to say the following. simply looking at the sources that Tosfos brings, where do we see that Rashi says that vertical mechitzas are not the problem of making an ayah? So Tosfos brought essentially two rayas. One of them was, sort of three, but two main ones. One of them was the sugya later on in Daf Tali Dalet, where you had Ram and Shmuel who were sitting together in a chotzer and a garden, and the wall in between the two gardens collapsed. The whole sugya over there. And Rashi's Peshat clearly takes on that there is no problem mitzad asiyas ayel of putting it along there. There's no problem of making an ayel. That was one source. The other source was the Gemara in Sukkah regarding the Sefer Torah, where the Sefer Torah was in somebody's house. They wanted to be able to get it to the shul, and the chotzer didn't have an Erev there, so they put up these sardinin in order to create mechitzas, effectively creating just a private passageway between the house and the shul. So, once again, the way Rashi learns the whole sugya over there, the issue was never one of making an ayah, because it's only vertical mechitzas. Rashi explains the whole sugya, he doesn't have the gersa we have, he changed to the gersa. And potentially there is a third source, and that is the pekek achaloi, this window stopper, which Rashi, at least elsewhere learns, we're talking about an aruba, we're talking about in the skylight, not a window as we know it in the wall. Those are the three sources. Can anyone think of a difference why maybe the cases we're talking about, case over here with Rabbi Nechemia, or anything like that, why that may be different? We give a different hagdara according to Rashi. Rather than saying it's a blanket rule that it's always to do with the horizontal, maybe it's something a little bit more than that. Anyone got any ideas?
No.
So we'll suggest like this. No, okay, fair enough. We'll suggest like this. Perhaps the difference is that if you actually go through all the examples we've talked about, they're all talking about Erashot HaYochid. In other words, think about it. If let's say you've got your garden and your neighbor's garden, and there's a fence in between, and the fence collapses, the mitzvah is still one big Erashot HaYochid. Any issa to carry is because of an issa. It's a drabonon, so you need to have an eruv. But mitzad reshuyot, mitzad bechit, nothing has changed. It was a reshus hayochid, now it's just a bigger reshus hayochid. The same thing in the case of sukkah, with the sefer Torah. It's a chotzer. Just there's no eruv there. In order to be able to carry the sefer Torah from the house to the shul, you have to create a private passage. But you're taking a big reshus hayochid and making a smaller reshus hayochid. Thus he says, such mechitzas, that's not anything, that doesn't have a lacking chashiva, that's not an asiyas ayah. And likewise, therefore, when you're talking about the pekek achaloi, because you put something inside a window, a vertical wall, that's garnish. And there, the only chashiva, the only place where it would have chashiva, if you're talking about a roof, no, that already is more kosher. Think about it in terms of a bite. When it comes to Hilchus Mezuzah. When it comes to Hilchus Mezuzah, strictly speaking, you're only, generally speaking, I should say, you're only climbing a mezuzah if there's a roof. The exception to that is a chotzer, because it's normal not a roof on there. The Derech Keral, if there's no tikra, there's no chiyuv mezuzah. It's lacking in terms of the chashivas of a bayit. So an ayel, if you think about one, there's a tent, whatever you want to call it, it's got to have a roof. Fine. If you're just putting out a vertical mechitzas, that is not achieving very much, then the Chalami Rashi says that doesn't give it a shame by you. Even if it's a mechitza materis. Even if it's a mechitza materis. However, what we're dealing with over here is you're creating a reshus hayochid. Think about it. Rabbi Nechemia is stuck outside in the middle of nowhere, which is why he's only got four amos. So what do? We get people to stand around and we effectively create a Rosh Hashayachid then. that's mechitzas habada. That's already that even Rashi would agree that's an asiyasaya. In other words, Rashi's not saying a klal that it's always got to be to do with the horizontal. Rashi's not saying that. This is what we're suggesting. As I said, this is a new suggestion in Rashi. It's to do with the chashiva sedar. If it's got a roof, making a roof, that's already is a dovah chosher. Option one. Option number two is, if you're creating from effectively a Rosh Hashanah and you're creating a Rosh Hashanah, that is also is a dovah chosher, and therefore that would come under Asiyah Sayyah. Yeah, is that clear?
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone's happy with that? Anyone need me to repeat that?
Yes, please.
You'll have me to repeat it, okay. Yeah, you want me to repeat it, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. What we're suggesting is the following. Just simply by analyzing the different sources that we've got, where we find that Rashi did not ascribe the Issur of Asiyas Eil to a vertical mechitza, if you look at them, they are all cases where maximum you're creating a mechitza materis, which is essentially is a mechitza which is materis some issur. But lemaisa, it's not changing the status, the actual status of any domain. It was a Rosh Hashayochid, and now it's a smaller Rosh Hashayochid. Both in terms of the case on Daf Tadi Dalet, where the mechitza collapsed between two gardens. Still, think about your own garden. If your mechitza collapses between your garden and your neighbor's garden, it just becomes a bigger Rosh Hashayochid. So when you put the fence back, you're making it into a smaller Rosh Hashayochid. Because Rashi, even if that's going to be Matir and Issa, because it's going to allow you to carry now, even if that would be the case, that's not a mechitza which comes under Asiyah Sayyid. Unless you've got something which is a roof on top, that already makes it more kosher. That's the case on Daf Tadi Dalet. That's one case. You've then got another case, is the Gemara on the Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara in Sukkah, which is talking about the case of the Sefer Torah. So there as well, it's the same thing. You've got a chotzer, and it's a Rosh Hashayochid, just as lots of houses opening up onto it. So without an eruv, you're not allowed to carry the Sefer Torah. So I set up the mechitzas, which create a private passage from the house now to the shul. So what has it done? It's been matir and issur, but the maitre hasn't changed the status of the domain. The was a Rosh Hashayochid, it's still a Rosh Hashayochid. Does Rashi, that's not a mechitza matir, it's not a mechitza which comes under the issur of Asiyas Eil. The case of the Pekat Halon, for sure that's not Asiyas Eil. You've got a house and you put a blocker into the window, that's not Eil, only in the roof. However, our Gemara is dealing with something else entirely. The Nechemia is stuck outside the Moshon in Rosh Hashanah, which is why he's outside his Tuchum in Rosh Hashanah. He's only got 4x4 Amos. So what do? You get stand around and you effectively create a Rosh Hashayochid. It's like creating the deer of the Sahar, the animal pet. It's one large Rosh Hashayochid, one large Dalet by Dalet Amos. You've actually changed the nature of the domain. That's for sure Rashi's Maskin comes under Asiyas Eil. Even though there's no roof on it, it doesn't matter. The changing from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, that comes under Asiyas Eil, even according to Rashi. That's what we're saying. So in other words, we're moving the goalposts slightly. According to Tosfos, it's either a roof or a mechitza hamateres. Plus the Tosfos agrees that it's a roof, it's automatically an Eil. But without a mechitza de tmios is not a problem, a mechitza materet, a mechitza which is being matir and iser, that is a problem of Asiya Sahel. Rashi says no. Being matir and iser is not enough to come as Asiya Sahel. It has to go to the next level, which is that it is changing. It's even more happening, it's more significant. It's changing the status of the domain from a Rishon, let's say, to a Rishon Sayoch. Yeah, does that make sense?
It does, but you could possibly argue that if you're changing from Rishon Rabbin to Rishon Sayoch, you need actually a better mechitza, i.e. a roof and a and walls, not a worse mechitza.
Again, what
I understand you're saying, but I'm
again, we're not coming to say what you need. We're coming to say, Mr. the Isser of call it Baina. We don't need to have a roof. The mighty don't. To change it from Rishon Sayoch to Rishon Sarab, sorry, Rishon Sarab to Rishon Sayoch, the halacha is you need mechitzas, and that's it. That's the material. Mitzvah, my action, what I've actually been toil, I've done much more, the change from one thing to another is much more significant in the case over here.
Yes.
And essentially what we're saying therefore is, Rashi is not so far away from Tosfos. It's just Rashi requires slightly more than Tosfos. Tosfos says, Mechitza the Tmiyus, no, that doesn't come under Asiya Sahel. Not unless you've got a root. Mechitza Materet, that's Asiya Sahel. Rashi says, no. Mechitza Materet without a root, still not is Asiya Sahel. You have to go to the next stage. And that is, it's a Mechitza Materet, but it's more than just a Mechitza Materet. It's actually changing the nature of the domain. It's gone from Rishon Haravim to Rishon Sayoch. It's something like that, or the equivalent. Again, you'd maybe take it case by case and see how significant the change is. But that's the life of the case which we're dealing with it right now. We're saying that clearly Rashi holds comes under Asiya Sahel. And then
I
think
can I just ask?
Go on, yeah?
Can I just ask? I thought we learned that you've got the 2,000 hours, and if the 2,000 hours it ends up being in the middle of somebody's property, that doesn't change, it doesn't give you any extra. It gives you to where the 2,000 hours goes. So why are we making the perception that is in Rishon Sarabit? He could quite easily be in Rishon Hayachid, but just not. He's gone past his 2,000 others. But why are we making the presumption in the Rishon Sarabit?
You're absolutely correct. You are absolutely correct. The only thing is, right, Mr. Freeman is asking why we presume that he's in a Rishon Sarabit. The halacha is, if your 2,000 amas end in the middle of a Rishon Sayochid, you also can't go any further than that. You're right. However, remember, the halacha is, if you do go beyond, you've got dalad, right? Dalad, 4x4 amas. If, however, you find yourself in a Dir Besahar, inside a Rishon Sayochid, then your dalad al dalad, that becomes your dalad al dalad, at least in this case, where the person, he didn't do something with mazid here, he was fatif in his learning. If he does it with mazid, that was a machlok rishon. Now, not all we pass him that you don't have more than dalad al dalad, more than 4x4. But in this case, the case we're dealing with over here, lechol adeus, you're absolutely right. If you go beyond if your 2,000 ends in the middle of a Rishus Hayochid, you've got to stop there. But Lamaisa, if you went beyond, and it was, Goyim took him out, or even in this case, he was fatigued in his learning, and he went out because of that. The halacha is that your Dalad al-Dalad is, it's transferred, or not transferred, but translated into that entire Rishus Hayochid. So then in which case he would have been able to come back just because of that. He's no different than somebody who went out, and we say, oh, there, he went out. He says, but I'm still within the dollars of my original support. And he's according to Rabbi Yezzi, he can hop back in.
So
yeah, does that make sense?
Gary, you were saying before that the difference is that with Nehemia, that he went from, on the other occasions, you had a Yishusharabim, you had a different Yishusharabim because you changed the boundaries of the fence falling down or whatever. But I thought that you said the difference with Nehemia was that he went from Yishusharabim to Yishusharabim. Once you created this pathway of people.
Correct. So I'm saying, although halachically you're right, that if you're 2,000 amos and then it's just halachic, you still can't go any further, I'm proving that it must be that where he went was into Eresh HaSarab. Because if it was into Eresh HaSarab, he would have been able to come back. I mean, when I say that, what I mean to say is, if he went into Eresh HaSarab, and it was a Rosh Hashanah all the way back to his old Tachum, he'd be able to come back by virtue of the fact that that becomes his Dalai Lama. So you're right, he may actually be standing in a Rosh Hashanah, but for sure that Rosh Hashanah would allow him to come all the way back to his Tachum. Because again, if he was in the middle of a Rosh Hashanah, which connected all the way back to his Tachum, then he's no different to somebody who finds himself in the middle of a Deir Vassar, which connects back to the book. He'd be able to come back. He shouldn't have gone that far, but it was a mistake. And therefore he's allowed to come back. The very fact that he wasn't able to come back, that he definitely is not in a Rosh Hashayokh that connects back to his to the altar book. He may be in a Rosh Hashayokh, but not a Rosh Hashayokh that connects him back to his altar book. By having the people stand there, they are now creating a single Rosh Hashayokh all the way back to his book.
Thank you.
Yeah, is that clear?
Yes.
Okay. So the extra nakuda, which we could now say, is when it comes to this, now the question of sukkah, we no longer have to say, like the Mogin Yishloimon, we don't have to say, like we were saying until now, but the vort is that that by putting up the third mechita, the sechach, the horizontal now gets a shame, schach shamitz or something like that. I don't have to come on to that. I could tell you that even Rashi's masking, when you take a sukkah, you have something which wasn't a sukkah, now you made it into a sukkah, it's a complete change. That's a complete change from what you had beforehand. You have something which, it wasn't Rosh Hashayoch, it wasn't a sukkah, when you put up the third moon, it becomes a sukkah. And in fact, not only that, we actually know from the Gemara, the Gemara in Sukkah, that not only does it become a Sukkah for Shabbos, but for Shabbos it becomes a Rosh Hashayoch. And if you remember, from Sukkah, there's a special halacha that something that ordinarily mechitzas wouldn't work for Rosh Hashayoch, but on Shabbos of Sukkah, so I should say, if it works for a Sukkah, it works for Shabbos. But the you don't have to go that far. The main point I'm saying is that it could be with the sukkah, even Rashi will agree. Rashi's not saying that vertical mechitzas never come under Asiyah Zayah. It has to be something more than just stam a mechitza matera. It has to be something that changes the very nature, the very definition, the domain, something like that. So it could be from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashayoku. Or, Pashtus, it can also be a case of sukkah. You've got something which was nothing, and you make it into a sukkah. That is a significant change. Yeah, is that clear? Yeah?
Yes.
I'm just going to be 1 second. I just have to pause once I just sort of just go inside and then the time left. I'll just give me 1 minute.
Fine, right. Let me just continue the recording. Okay, fine, right. So that was in terms of Rashi. Yeah, is that clear?
Yes.
Okay, right. The other question, there was one other question we left off with, and that was the Rambam. Anyone has any further thoughts on the Rambam? Let me just remind you quickly of the question we had on the Rambam, and that was like this, that the Rambam in Hilchot Shabbos, anyone who wants to look it up for themselves, I think it was Perek Zayin, Halacha Chaf Gimel. The Rambam says over there that you're not allowed to use people, the person who is going to benefit from the mechitza cannot know about it. Right? And yet in Hilchot Sukkah, Perek Zayin, Halacha Chaf Zayin, there the Rambam seems very clear. But you can benefit. The person who is going to actually be eating, sleeping in there, he's allowed to get the people to stand there to form the mechitza. Yeah? Problem is clear?
Yes. The question's clear.
So, perhaps we could suggest the following. And that is, spent quite a bit of time trying to analyze the words. It's very difficult, but sort of trying to, you know, be very pedantic here, and maybe the following sort of, I thought maybe was a clue. The Rambam writes, his lashon in Hilchos Shabbos is, read to you carefully again. He says, Mutter la'aseis mechitza. It's mutter to make a mechitza shav me'odon, using human beings, the Shabbos on Shabbos. She'yamoid zeh betzad zeh. This one will stand next to the next one. U'vilvad shelo yid'u elu ha'imdin. With the condition that these people who are standing there should not know, she'bishvil la'aseis mechitza ha'imidon. He's got them to stand there because of making the mechitza. Then he says, the lo yamid oison adam, who wrote to this tamish mechitza zu, and the person who wants to make use of this mechitza should not stand them there. And lo yamid oison acher shleded after, rather somebody else should stand them there shleded after. And I've been thinking like this: maybe we've taken on till now that the Rambam is probably going with the shita of the Chiddush Ha'arah. I.e. that the issue over here is to do with what it's going to lead to, Zilul Shabbos, whatever you want to call it. That's the only logical reason we can really see in why there should be a problem for the person, for Rabbi Nechemiah and example, to know about it. But, you know, people pointed out that if that's the case, it's very likely that it should be a problem even if they were to subsequently find out about it. In which case, it would have to be a problem for him as well. In which case, how are you going to get him back in? Logically, something is not adding up. If the Rambam is going with the Chiddush Ha'arah, he said, in the Chiddush Ha'arah, there's a very strong possibility, and that's what the Mordechai Taka brings, that it's not enough that they don't know about it at the time of creating the Mechitza, like we said in Rashi and the Rabbi Yonason, as the Ritva says. No, even if they are going to find out about it, it's going to be a problem. Even if there's a possibility they're going to find out about it, it's going to be a problem. That was the Kedodat. If that's the case, then how you manage, are you planning to get Rabbi Nechemiah back in without him knowing about it? Yeah, that was something that I think at least one or two people raised. Yeah, correct? Yep. Right. So what we're going to suggest is the following. It's possible that maybe that's not what the Rambam means. Maybe the Rambam, for argument's sake, that's what he learns like Rashi. The issue is over here that you're not allowed to because of Boina. If they know about it, it's Boina. Now, if it's Boina, who's going to have the problem? Who is it that has to be shira lodav? Only the people who are actually making the mechitza. Rav Chisda? No problem. Rav Nechemiah? No problem. Hence, the Rambam writes, and I'm going to read it a second time now, and I'm going to put it into the word. I'll show you. The Rambam writes, Mutter, we're talking about Issa and Hetta now. Mutter, la'afis mechitza shabbani adam b'shabbos. It's mutter to make a mechitza using people on Shabbos. Yamizet and Tabbet, they'll stand next to each other. Uvilvad, here comes the condition.
on condition that these people who he's making stand there shouldn't know about what they're doing. That's the condition. The implication being, if they do know, if the people who are standing in the mechitza, they know why they're being asked to stand there, then it would be an issur to make such a mechitza. Not just a chumrah, an issur. Because he starts off, mutter la'atit mechitza with people, uvilvad, on condition that the people who are standing there can't know about it. That's the condition. Then the Rambam goes on, the truth is, maybe I'm interpreting the Rambam this way because in my Rambam that I've got in front of me, it's got a full stop before the next statement. Because you could, in theory, read the next statement as also part of the Uvilvad as a condition. Now I'm suggesting, and I'm going to show you I've got good support for this, that no, the full stop is exactly where they put it. That was the condition. There's only one condition. The people who are standing in the mechitza must not know. Because if they know about it, it's an issur. What's the issur? Maybe like Rashi says. Maybe it's an issur koina. Then he goes on and says the following. V'lo ya'amid oysan adam shuroit in ishtamish b'mechitzot. This has nothing to do with issur. It's saying the person who wants to make use of this mechitza, he shouldn't ask them to stand there. Somebody else should stand them there. Meaning to say, this is not an issa. This is Zilzan and Shabbos or something like that. Better that he shouldn't do it. This is more, and if he does know about it, and he's the one who does it, is it an issa? Is there a malacha? No, there's no malacha. This is the way it should be done. Therefore, I'm going to tell you first just what I wanted to say, and then I'll bring you the backing for it. Therefore, when it comes to Hilchos Sukkah, there the Rambam doesn't mention any of this. Because when it comes to Sukkah, what I need to know is, I need a Sukkah. It's a Dvar Shel Mitzvah. We're talking about a Mitzvah like the various Achronim said, that's the Chiddush they wanted to make. They were dealing with a Mitzvah. So right now, I'm talking about what is the Issa. The Issa is that the friend I asked to stand there, he mustn't know about it. If he doesn't know about it, there's no Issa. What about the extra, call it Hizra, the extra things, the Zuzul, whatever it is, that I shouldn't do it, get somebody else to do it without me knowing? So I'm the one who's going to benefit from it? No. The Gabi Sukkah, we're not going to demand that of you. Why? Either the Rambam is not getting into extra Hidurim, one possibility. More likely, it's because the fact is you're involved in a mitzvah, like the other Achronim said. Even though we asked yesterday in the case of Shabbos as well, who says they're not talking about the mitzvah. Okay, it's a lechat chila. The main akuda is, what we gain now is, we've said that there are two Achronim to the Arok and the Rambam. There's one which is the people who are making the mechitza itself, it's an issur for them to know about it. And then there's an extra hidur that the person who's going to benefit from it shouldn't know about it. And now we've answered the steel, because when it comes to sukkah, the extra thing is not in place. You see, because to make it clear, without what we're saying now, the Achronim wanted to say, well, we can't be sukkah, it's a mitzvah, and since it's always a mitzvah, that's why they weren't matnas. In which case, why can't the person I'm making stand there also not know about it? If it's just because of zilzul or uksha milta, why dafka you're being makel on the person who's going to benefit from it, but not the person who's standing in the mechitza? What's the difference? Where'd you get that from? To say, well, so a mitzvah will be makel on this one or not, where does the Rambam get that from? According to what we're saying now, I can understand. Because the person who's standing in the mechitza, that's an issa. That was the Lashon of the Rambam. Mutar uvilvad. If he knows about it, it's going to be an issa. The extra thing that Rabbi Nechemiah, the person who's going to benefit from it, the guy who's going to eat in the sukkah, that is only an extra. That's not an issa. That's just an extra, a good thing to do. But the Gabi sukkah, we could be more makel. Now, why do I say I've got good support for this? Because I found this morning, after the Goyen Yaakov, I think that's where I saw it. He, not necessarily the diyukim I've made, but
Pshat, he says this Pshat in the Rambam. He says, I'll tell you where he brings it from. He wants to say that that's why, according to the Rambam, that's why he said in the case of Lobo, Ke Lo Das. The very Geshmak of Ort, he says. You remember the case of Lobo? Lobo was coming back from the Shir. Lobo was coming back from the Shir, and all his Talmidim were following. So the Shamash decided to use it as the opportunity to grab the Lobo's flasks and bring them back inside. Alright? No problem. They didn't know about it. Excellent. What happened was, the next week, the same thing happened. The next week, Rava objected. Why? He says, one time you can do it, but the second time that's already Kalodah. So we ask, what does it mean Kalodah? Either it is Lodah or it's not. So far we've seen, we had the Rabbi Nechanano, who says, it is Lodah. He obviously thinks out the Chah. It is Lodah. They know what's going on. We had the Mordechai. We said the Kalodah means to say that if there's, even though there's nothing to indicate they do know about it, but already on the second time, you have to be choshish that somebody is going to twig. Comes along the Gaon Yaakov and says the Rambam learns a different pshat. He says, who knows about it? The Talmidim? They don't know what's going on. They're so far steeped in their learning, they're so busy listening to what Rambam's functioning in terms of answering their questions, they're not noticing a Shamash taking in some plot. That's not the problem over here. You could do it a second time. Did they know about it? No, why would they know about it? Robert objected because he said the second time, I noticed what's going on. The first time I didn't notice what was going on. Right? When you were getting them to make a machita, because I was busy answering their questions, then finally, there was a machit to that. But already the second time, believe me, I know what's going on. Because everyone is benefiting from it. I know what you're trying to do. Now, is that an actual problem? It's not really a problem, because they don't know about it. And the main issue is they don't know about it. However, he objected, is because it's ke-loda. It's like a case where they know about it. If they were to know about it, if the Talmidim were to know about it, it would be an Ipsil. Therefore, you wouldn't be able to do it. Even though they don't know about it, and only I know about it, the beneficiary knows about it, that's already grounds on which to be Machmir, it's Kurt Lodav, it's like a case where the Talmidim would have known about it, and therefore you wanted to be Machmir. But it was only a Chumrah, says the Rambam. And since it's only a Chumrah, when it's for the Bar Mitzvah, like Sukkah, says the Gaon Yaakov, you could be made.
I'm still a bit confused because the only the Shamas is going to be the he's going to be benefited directly. Yes, Rav Chisda would get the
benefit. No, it's Rava is the one who's actually benefiting. It's his class. His class are going to get lost.
But he's not.
It's not, when we say the beneficiary, it's not the one who's going to actually do the malacha. It's not the one who's doing the malacha, it's ultimately the one who's benefiting from it.
That's different to Rav Nechemia when he was the one that was benefiting from it.
I realise. No, you're right. And I'll tell you something more. It's a good error what you're saying, because the Rambam's Loshen actually is the person who wants to make use of the Mechitza shouldn't know about it. Which you would have thought is the Shamash. He's the one who's going to actually make use of it. The Gaon Yaakov wants to say it doesn't mean the person who's making use of Payel. It means the one who's going to actually make use of it, even if it's through somebody else. The Shamash is doing it for him. It's his flasks which are being brought in. But it's a fair or what you're asking. That's the way the Gaon Yaakov wants to learn it. I wasn't bringing off the Loshen Kalodah. That's what he's saying, which is a third pshat. We've got the pshat of the Rabbeinu Chanan, which is, no, it is Lodah. The second time, people definitely know about it. We've had the Mordechai who says, no. Which is a case where no one seems to have known, but you have to be choshish, somebody may, you're not allowed to do it the Chatzchila, unless somebody may realize what's going on.
that's where he introduces this idea that it's a problem even if they subsequently realize after you made them a pizza. And then you've got the Goel Yaakov who wants to say, in the Rambam, Tuladas means it's not really a problem because the people who are making the mechitza, they don't know about it. It's a chumrah because since the person who's benefiting, he knows about it, which the truth is, you know what, maybe I have to look at the Goel Yaakov again, maybe you want to say it's a shamash. Okay, even if it's a shamash. So when I say benefiting, let's say the person who's going to use it. Maybe Papa, you're right. Maybe it's the shamash. Maybe I'm just assuming the robber he meant. Maybe not. Maybe it's the shamash. Whichever one it is, you're saying the first time, then he should have objected as well. So that's why you do have to say it's robber. That's why he's learning it's robber. Because if it's the shamash, the first time, let me a second. Because the shamash was never getting anyone to make any mechitzas anyway, they're just following behind Rava. So both on the first time and the second time, there's nothing to do with it. Shalom the data. He realizes at some point there's a mechitza there. Rava, at least you could say the first time, he didn't have anything in mind in terms of making mechitzas. Maybe the second time he sort of realizes what's going on, maybe that is at some point under his, is in his mind. I don't know, that exactly how to touch it, I'm not sure exactly.